Support for this public radio podcast comes from KeyBank, focused knowledge, customized solutions, and the resources of an entire bank. Because the best solutions fit around a business's needs. More at key.com/corporate.
Toxic Toys, Take Two.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Mattel is recalling nearly a million toys made in China. They may contain hazardous levels of lead paint. 83 products in all. Many feature characters from Sesame Street and Nickelodeon. The cost to Mattel will be about $30 million. You can get more information at Mattel.com. On Wall Street, investors were skittish most of yesterday over problems in the credit markets, and there were wild swings in stocks. Until the last half hour, when the market suddenly bolted higher. The Dow gained 150 to 13,362. The S&P picked up 10 points to 1465. The NASDAQ was higher by 7 to 2553. Overnight in Tokyo, Japanese shares edged up a bit. And in Europe, stocks are being boosted by some surprisingly strong earnings from the consumer products giant Unilever. The sorry state of the credit markets has been the story behind the volatility in stocks, and we're not just talking mortgages. Dozens of private equity deals were financed with borrowed money, and now some of the world's biggest banks have been left holding the bag. $500 billion worth of loans they can't pass on to investors. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
New figures from data company Dealogic show the scale of the problem. Big investment banks on both sides of the Atlantic have agreed to lend tens of billions of dollars. They want to spread the risk by selling those loans on to other investors. But investors have suddenly lost their appetite for debt. The turmoil in the subprime mortgage market is mostly to blame. The backlog of these agreed loans is gigantic. Banks operating in Europe have been left holding more than $200 billion worth. The figure for US banks is even worse at $269 billion. If they can't offload this debt, it will restrict their future lending. Private equity, hedge funds and other companies hoping to borrow will have to wait. The buyout boom is over. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Guess what's back on the radar screen? Possible conflicts of interest involving stock analysts. When the companies they're recommending happen to be important clients of the investment banks they're working for. Bob Moon has the latest case in point.
Never mind that Blackstone has been one of the year's worst performing initial public offerings, or that tighter credit markets are threatening the private equity giants. Several top Wall Street firms have just started analyst coverage of Blackstone, most of them banks that have a vested interest as underwriters of the IPO. And how do they rate the slumping stock? Wait for it. Almost universally, they recommend you buy. A conflict of interest settlement 4 years ago allowed the banks to keep issuing their own recommendations. And at the University of Pennsylvania, Professor Marshall Bloom doubts much has changed.
It really hasn't had much impact on quality of research or the objectivity of it.
Bloom thinks analyst ratings aren't worth much anyway, since most big institutional investors buy their own research.
You only make money really in the stock market by obtaining some information prior to it being available everywhere in the world.
By the time the rest of us hear an analyst buy or sell rating, independent or not, Bloom says it's almost certainly already priced into a stock. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
It's the kind of milestone the big three don't want to reach. For the first time ever, GM, Ford, and Chrysler's share of the U.S. market has been below 50%. U.S. auto sales hit their slowest pace in 9 years during July. And even though Toyota and Honda saw declining sales too, they're grabbing more of the American market. Toyota outsold Ford and Honda beat Chrysler.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. More at ThriveQ.com.
We know the U.S. real estate market has been in the doldrums, but in the U.K., home prices are still at record highs. One area of England with the biggest increases lately is Northern Ireland, and peace may be the reason. Northern Ireland's Catholic and Protestant parties signed a peace deal in 1998. This spring, a new government was successfully installed. And as Ashley Milne-Tite reports from Belfast, it's inspired an unprecedented housing boom.
It was last year that the housing market in Northern Ireland began to surge. Even longtime Belfast realtor Beth Robinson was taken by surprise with the scale and strength of the boom.
We're seeing increases like 30 and 40% over the last 6-9 months in house prices. And I would say the £1 million house has become the £2 million house.
For the first time, residents on both sides of the border are buying houses in the north as an investment. But these buyers are competing against people who just want somewhere to live. There isn't enough housing stock to go around. Lawyer Peter King and his wife want to sell their townhouse in a popular Belfast suburb and get something bigger.
Master bedroom with the ensuite. Then our bathroom.
The house has more than doubled in value since they bought it 5 years ago. Still, King says.
The trick is to find somewhere that has increased at a less proportionate level than this place has and still buy it at a price that allows us to actually have a real profit from this house.
House prices in Northern Ireland are now equal to or higher than those in other parts of the UK. But wages here trail the average UK income by as much as 20%. Graham Brownlow teaches economics at Queen's University Belfast.
The actual indebtedness of house owners in Northern Ireland at the same price is going to be higher, given that they don't have the same income but are paying the same amount of money.
He says things will get ugly if interest rates go up. Many new homeowners have mortgages worth 5 to 6 times their salaries. There's been a flurry of speculation in the press recently that the so-called housing bubble is about to burst. Realtor Beth Robinson says these rumours have caused her a few problems.
I've had 2 deals fall through this week on houses that I'd sold for 1.2 and 1.3 million.
Robinson says she's confident she can sell the properties for the original price. Still, the sooner the better. In Belfast, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Ticket scalping is catching on with Major League Baseball. MLB's got a 5-year revenue sharing deal with StubHub, the online market owned by eBay. Team websites will link ticket buyers and sellers to StubHub. This deal is a major blow to Ticketmaster, which had been operating secondary ticketing exchanges for a dozen baseball teams. In Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.